Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julie and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Julia, yes. We've got a special guest today. Today's guest is Kevin Sorbo. Though he is famous for his work on the number one worldwide hit TV series Hercules, The Legendary Journey, he's always strived to bring hopeful messages and meaningful entertainment to all. Forging his own path, he founded Sorbo Studios to breathe traditional values and uplifting content, which we need so desperately, back into the fabric of American culture. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Good to be here, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
And we started out the show by saying that Kevin Sorbo's computer crapped out. That's why we started a little bit late. It's usually my fault, my wife's fault, but this time it was Kevin's fault. So
it's all good.
Anything technical is always my fault. As simple as that.
Yeah, listen, my wife, when she heard Kevin Sorbo was going to be on the show and we're affiliated with Brave Books, to her it was, I think, a special moment because she grew up in the 90s watching you.
Yep.
And I guess idolizing you and, you know.
Well, I loved your character. Because you were brave, you were courageous, and you showed masculinity, which I think is lacking right now. And I know that you want to talk about that a little bit. But
I should have worn my I have a T-shirt that says "Embrace Masculinity."
And okay, let's go there.
Another one says "Patriarchy is the future." So there you go.
Define masculinity, because people are confused about what masculinity really means or really represents.
Men should be men, women should be women. I'm not taking anything from women being powerful in their position as well. They're both powerful positions, but I think they both have different things to bring, especially to the family unit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to have a mother and father in relationship. But hey, I've been looking at what they've been doing in television over the last 50, 60 years. And if you look at sitcoms back in the day, the dad was kind of always out of shape. The mom's always been a babe. The teenage kids make fun of dad. He's a pincushion for sarcasm. And so For decades, we've been training the last two or three generations that, you know what, dads aren't that important. You don't need a dad in your life. Yeah, they're just in it. And that's what they're trying to do. The government wants full control of everything that we do, cradle to grave. I say this all the time. I think what our government's doing to us today is worse than what the British monarchy was doing 250 years ago and why we had the Revolutionary War against them. And we just sit back here now, and just apathy is the big killer in our country, in the world. I mean, people say, oh, well, what can we do? And they just give up, and we keep giving these guys more and more and more. So I'm out there saying, hey, we got to wake up the lions, and that's men and women. We got to wake up people not to be afraid to speak the truth, get out there and say the truth. The sheep are going to be the sheep. They're going to be blind and ignorant and uneducated what's actually going on. They're going to get their news from TikTok instead of getting it from where you should be getting it, and balance it out. Watch everything on the news. Look, I can watch the same story on Fox, then MSNBC, then I can go to the BBC, and it's the same story, but completely different things. You know, it's three sides of every story. Yours, mine, the cold, hard truth. And right now, Washington, D.C. and Hollywood, they hate the truth. It's kryptonite to them. And I'm here to wake people up and say, don't let fear rule your lives.
When did you have the awakening? Because you were in the belly of the beast, which is Hollywood. And it hasn't been going on for the last 10 or 15 years. Very well pointed out that it's been going on for generations. But when was your epiphany saying, I'm making a lot of money, I'm famous, I'm popular, I'm good looking, I'm Hercules, it can't get any better? Well, obviously, it's gotten a lot better. When was that awakening for you?
Well, go back and say that first part over again. I want to make sure I get that as my intro from now on. Anyway, you know what? I've always been awakened to it. I was never a Hollywood guy per se. I love the industry. I love being on a set, doing television, doing movies. I'm very fortunate to have two long-running series back-to-back, Hercules and Andromeda. I've done over 80 movies since then. But I was never afraid to talk about being a Christian. I was never afraid to talk about being a conservative. You know, sometimes in Hollywood, people, you know, they go, whatever, 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 and they get these little debates, which is fine by me. Let's have a debate. Just because you yell louder at me doesn't make you right. But it got to a point the last 10 years now where what they do through television, what they've done through movies, what they've done in Washington, D.C., and politics and our mainstream media, which operates 95% of everything, they've made it just to attack us, to be angry about us and violence. It's really weird. The whole Democrat, the whole liberal world, the liberals need to look up the definition of the word liberal, because really it's everybody's point of view is okay. But the liberals, they're now the party of hate and anger and violence and divisiveness. And it's just unbelievable to me. So my manager and agent called me in about 10, 11 years ago and said, we can't work with you anymore. And because of what I was posting on the internet, I said, oh, you mean because I was posting the truth? I wasn't posting anger or hate. I was saying 2 + 2 = 4. And you get attacked for that in today's world. So they booted me out. But I love the industry. I love making movies. So my wife and I formed Sorbo Studios, called at sorbostudios.com. Great place to go for all kinds of information about what I do and my wife does. You may know my wife is a homeschool advocate. You should have her on your show. She travels the country.
We will.
Absolutely.
And we started just doing our own thing. And Hollywood hates what we're doing because we're doing movies that they used to do. Movies, they don't have to be faith-based movies, but family, you know, comedy, love, laughter, redemption, hope, things that we are completely missing and people are dying for in today's world. So that's my battle, to go up against Hollywood's $300 million movies. I got to fight for a year to try to raise $3 million to do one of my movies, and $3 million is catering budget in Pirates of the Caribbean. So, you know, we got a battle on our hands, and I'm just here to fight it, and I think this is the road God put me on.
For those of you out there that don't know what the word liberal means, it means liberty. That's where the word comes from. So there's more togetherness and more likeness between liberals and conservatives than what people actually think. They've co-opted our speech. They've dumbed people down for the last 50, 60 years. So if you understand the words unhoused, undocumented, climate change, it's very easy to start turning words around and make reproductive justice. I can continue to go on and on with the words. It softens it possibly, but it doesn't make it not true. So for me, if you're a liberal, you want freedom. You want Kevin to go out there and not get blacklisted. You want to watch what movie you want to watch to. You don't want to be dictated to. You don't want to watch a TV show and tell them as if you're watching it and they're telling you how you should live your life. That's not liberalism. That to me is the other kind of isms, whether it's communism, fascism, Nazism, that's what that is. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you brought up a lot of good points. You brought up when they said climate change. So that used to be global warming. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of years there in 2012 through 15 that we had like the coldest winters on record. So that we better change it to climate change. Well, you know what I call it? I call it weather, because that's what it is. It's weather. You know, you can't tell me what the weather's like 200, 300, 400 years ago in any given month, any part of the world, because we didn't have any records of it then. So how do you know that it's climate change? We had a ice age back 10,000 years ago. That's how the state I grew up in, Minnesota, got 10,000 lakes. I mean, it's just the insanity of putting this fear into these kids. I did a documentary called Climate Hustle 2. Amazon would not let us show it. They would not put it on because, God forbid, you show scientists talking about the opposite side of the climate change issue that made Al Gore a billionaire and all these, you know, spent trillions of dollars wasting on that when we should have been building the wall. And I mean, it's just amazing the stuff that we do in this country, how we waste taxpayers' money. And I have a T-shirt, another T-shirt I wear. It's at Sorbo Studios, if they want to get one from me. It's from my Twitter account. It says, why do we have to pay taxes if they can just keep printing money?
I like that, baby. You go ahead, because I can talk to Kevin. This could be a man-to-man conversation.
One more thing. Because you said about Patriot, liberalism, what liberty. I have a T-shirt that's from a company. It says they do Patriot. They do great, great T-shirts. Freedom over fear, things like that. So I had a jersey on, and I'm walking to the airport in Dallas, and it says Patriot, very bold and blue letters across a black shirt. And this woman, this flight attendant, walked in, oh, you're a Patriot fan. I said, you better believe I'm a Patriot fan. He hasn't said Tom Brady retired. I said, no, I'm a Patriot fan. And she looked at me and got a frown on her face. And I said, well, I love America. I said, hold on, sweetheart. Where do you think they got the name Patriots from? Where do you think New England Patriots meant? But this is their level of uneducated ignorance and anger. So it cracked me up that she flipped like that. I said, maybe you should take a boat to Cuba and get to the utopia that you want to live in.
That is awesome. I love that you're a billboard. I have so much respect. Gino has someone in the office, really built guy, and he will wear those T-shirts out at the airport, which I have to say thank you for that. But what about the people listening? They're dads. They're not in Hollywood. How do you be a role model, especially for the people in your house, like your children, the men and your little men in your house that are not yet grown up? Give us some tips on fatherhood.
Well, number one, be present.
Yeah.
Be there for them when they come, want to come talk to you. I mean, the years go by awfully fast, as you know, with your six kids. I mean, my kids are now, they're 22, 20, and 18. I'm 6'3". My boys are 6'5" and 6'4". They're men, you know, and they go to the gym, they work out. They're not afraid to speak their faith and speak their conservatism. To me, it's just be there for them because they go so quickly. I mean, I remember changing their diapers. I remember, you know, walking around with them, holding their little hands and stuff. Now these big guys, they're going to have to hold my hand now to get me through it. And it's just, be there for them, you know. Find time to catch, find time to go golfing, find time to take a walk, find time to just do stuff and hang out because, you know, life is short. You know, there's a great line in a song from Dan Fogelberg where he says, life's not long when look from end to end. And he's not wrong. It's just, it's both. I remember my grandfather at 81 years old looked at me one time. He goes, you know something, Kev? I was 18 yesterday and I was in my 20s then. And I already knew what he meant by that because I was like going, yeah. You know, I was only 20 something years old, but I knew exactly what he was talking about. And just be there and hang out and set a good example, you know. And it's, and my wife and I, we have battles all the time. She's strong-willed, I'm strong-willed. We have these battles, but we know what it's all about and why we want to hang out and keep doing stuff together. So, you know, 26 years. Every year she says, I'm going to give you one more year. She says, I'll give you one more year.
You're lucky. My wife tells me I'll give you one more day. So at least you can redeem yourself.
Here's a good one.
I was at a men's retreat this past weekend and someone shared the quote with me, to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And it really stuck me because I've always wanted to protect my kids. I don't want them to have harm. I don't want them to go through struggles. No. And that's what I see a lot of
what they're going to, and that's life.
Yes.
Well, you're teaching them what to do when those roadblocks happen. We all get roadblocks in our life. How do you react to that roadblock? You're going to blame God. You're going to blame a God you don't believe in, the government, friends, neighbor, you owe me. So many people just given up on life. And I think that's the anger you see. And it certainly is under 30, maybe even up to 35 years old and younger. You see this look towards, well, maybe communism is pretty good, and get Antifa that says they're against fascism when they're actually the fascists. But that's exactly what government does, right? Look at our government right now. Biden and his cronies, they it's called deflection. And that's what the Democrat Party does. Every problem they cause, they flip it around and say it's the Republicans' fault. Mm-hmm. They're blaming the border on Trump. But the people that love Biden for whatever reasons, the Democrat Party, all you have to do is go, wait a minute. When Trump was in office for 4 years, 1.4 million came across the border. We're getting 1.4 million every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, let's not talk about it. That 10 million people, and they're flying them in now. I don't know if you've heard this. Mm-hmm. They've flown in almost a million over from the border down there. Just have 1 million left not physically coming across the border. That's complete treason. And nobody says anything.
Yeah.
It's like mail-in voting. We'll never have a legal voting system if it's mail-in voting. It'll never, ever, ever be an honest system.
Mm-hmm. You wrote a book with Brave. It's phenomenal. And what I love about it is, I was going to ask you, well, why did you write it? It's pretty apparent what you wrote it and the inspiration behind it. Yes.
There it is.
Tell us a little bit about the story.
Well, I think they heard me roaring loud and hard over their Brave books. And Kirk Cameron is a dear friend. I've known Kirk forever. We were neighbors in California for 10 years until we escaped California. We lived here in the beautiful free state of Florida.
Ooh.
And we've been here over 5 years already. And they approached me and they said, hey, we see what you're doing out there and we'd love you to be part of our team. And I said, I love what you guys are doing. Are you kidding? So we wrote a book together. It's called The Test of Lionhood. And it's a story about a little lion cub, Lufus. He's right there. And Lucas is like 10 years old, and he goes into the woods with his two little sisters. She gets cut by a flower, the littlest one. He knows he has no time to get back and get his parents. He knows his dad has taught him about that plant. His dad told him, you got to go to this part of the mountain to get the antidote. It's a flower up there you have to get. Otherwise, whoever gets cut by that plant will die. So he's got to get past his fear and insecurities. He's got to find that inner strength and that bravery, and he ends up saving his little sister's life. It's a wonderful story. I got attacked by the Alphabet crowd. I thought it was so funny. And I said, what is wrong with this book? Well, it's anti-this and anti-that. I go, no, it's not. It's pro-child. That's all it is. It's just pro-child. To me, let boys grow up to be boys and strong fathers and strong figures in their community, and they're a pillar for their cities and towns that they live in. What is wrong with that? They look at, not just them, the liberals every day look for something to be upset about. Mm-hmm. They look for something to attack people about because they have nothing better to do, because they're probably getting paid by George Soros. I'm sure they're unemployed and collecting your tax dollars as well. And they wear masks just like ISIS does and run around beating up innocent people and businesses and burning up cop cars. What a great way. And we let them do it. And we let them go into stores and loot. Are you kidding me? When is that going to stop? When is that? And recently, you must have seen the story of this black teenage girl beating the crap of a white teenage girl, bashing her head against the concrete. This woman, I heard she's on, this young girl's on life support or something right now. And where's the story? If it was reversed, if that was a white teenage girl beating up a black teenage girl, it'd be all over the place. What is wrong with our liberal white media that they're so afraid just to print the truth? Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with the color of either of those kids. What happened is horrific, period. Mm-hmm. And there should be reported on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of the things, Kevin, that you are actually, especially in the book, is you're teaching responsibility. And I think maybe the left, they fear responsibility.
They don't want that. They don't want that. They want government. Government loves them because they are the useful idiots that Lenin talked about back during the Bolshevik Revolution. And what another thing that he mentioned about, because I took Russian studies when I was in school, things they used to actually teach history if you wanted to take it. And he said the best way to control a population is through education. And look at our education system. It's pathetic. Mm-hmm. Anything the government has, from the DMV, the public schools, whatever it may be, it runs horribly. Post office, whatever. Why do they think FedEx and UPS is doing so much better? Because competition's a good thing. That's what built America, was individuals with dreams and drive. But now we're destroying that. We don't want people to have the American dream. If you work hard for 10 years and finally make a buck, you get attacked for being successful. I'm a 13-year overnight success in Hollywood, so there.
As I listened to this podcast, I was wondering why Hollywood X'd you out, and now I don't have to wonder anymore. I've got
I love his passion. Out. Like I think you guys would be really good friends.
Yes. What I love about it more than anything else is that you have culture, you have core values, you have a mission statement. Your identity precedes your mission. You are a child of God. You understand that. You understand what's really important. And then you have a true mission. And it has nothing to do with making money or being successful. It's all about speaking truth, being honest, and being a real role model to the people that you speak to. And that is more important than any accolades or anything else in life. And that's why the admiration is really, for me, palpable, because I didn't know you before this. And I really listened to a lot of your stuff, but I love it because no holds barred. You feel the way you feel. And I love that. And you're not worried about what anyone else is thinking. And really, everything you said, there's no disputing it. You can dispute it. You can go around and say, well, the border, this and that. I agree that the government creates a problem, and then they're there to create a solution. It's really hard to stop spending money. You just balance budget. You have a balanced budget amendment, and you have term limits. Problem solved. If you want to solve the border, this is what you do. You tell Mexico, for every person that comes in here illegally and then from your country, we'll charge you $10,000 per person, and you won't be able to repatriate money from the U.S. Problem solved. Problem, but they don't have the political will to do that. So we can talk about that, but you've got another book launching in June as well. So you've been really busy. Wrote the first one. What's the second one going to be about?
I'm not going to talk much about it, but it is about fatherhood. So it's from our history to give people, but it's about fatherhood. But you know, here's the thing, that everything that I got, strong will, the determination, the hardworking ethic, came from my parents. Yeah. My parents grew up on farms in Iowa. They met when my dad was a senior in college. She was a senior in high school. Got married within a couple of years, had five kids. My dad was always hard work. You work hard. Yeah, I mean, I started a paper route. I wouldn't do paper routes today in today's crazy world, and you don't really need it anymore because they don't exist. But from 9 years old until 16, I got up at 4:30 in the morning, 6 days a week to deliver 80 newspapers in Minnesota's 20-degree below winters, okay? I learned a hard work ethic. I bought my own first car when I was a junior in high school. I bought a 1967 powder blue Mustang with my own money. And as I tell my kids, as like my dad said, when you work hard and do things, you buy something like that with your hard work, you take care of it a lot more than somebody's handing it to you for not doing anything, just giving you a participation trophy, so to speak. But they taught us all that stuff. And I grew up in a Democrat household. I grew up in a Walter Mondale's Hubert Humphrey Democrats world, which those guys would be more like, they'd actually be better than rhinos today. I tell people, look at 1960 inauguration speech by JFK. There's not one Democrat, and 50% of the Republicans don't talk that way. JFK would be a Republican today. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for a country. There's not anybody in D.C. saying like that. So I just, you know, my first time I could vote, I voted for Reagan. So I grew up in a Democrat family, but I saw the conservative side as the one that made this country great. Big fan of Abe Lincoln, big fan of Teddy Roosevelt. Look, I highly recommend Teddy Roosevelt's autobiography book. It's very good. They started tearing down the statues in this country, and we let them. How pathetic is that? Mm-hmm. Because every country has good and bad history. Mm-hmm. But our founding fathers were freaking brilliant. Those guys were unbelievable. What they wrote 250 years ago, it still applies today more than it's ever applied. So it's just weird to me of what we're doing in this country and letting people be as vicious and vile. I mean, I would bring in the National Guard. I would put vets at every school. I'd put an armed vet in front and back of every public school. And these punks that want to go in with guns, they're not going to go any longer, are they? Because they're chicken little losers that want to go there. And just because they're insane and crazy, it just wouldn't happen. And we treat our vets like crap. Give them real jobs. Give them health benefits. And keep them employed. But get rid of public schools. Even, I'm looking the last couple of years at Bill Maher. But Bill Maher is a JFK Democrat. He doesn't even like what's going on in that party either. And he said, don't send your kids to American universities last month. Because I catch the show once in a while.
Wow. So there's a couple of things before my wife asks the next question. When you talk about the founding fathers, it's very important that they were in the service of others. They were public servants serving the country. And I think a lot of them were, you know, those who are exalted shall be humbled, and those who shall be humble shall be exalted. I think they were smart enough to understand that.
They put their life on the line. They knew that they were going to be hung for their treason.
Yes. And I think that's the difference. Now everyone's out to serve themselves. Yeah. Where those people, those individuals back in the day, they stuck their necks out, like you said, and they were serving a greater good. They were serving not just themselves. Nowadays, it's all about me. What can I get? It's popularity. I always say purpose over popularity. People have it the other way around. They have popularity, then I'll find my purpose. Find your purpose like the founding fathers did. And then once you lean into that and you work on that, your popularity will come from that. Julia,
let's say you, baby. Exactly.
Yeah, no, I want to know what we could do. What can the people listening do?
Baby. I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm like, Kevin Sorbo.
I love everything you're saying, but I'm a solution person, right? Okay. I just want solutions. So I want to know what I personally can do, Julia Barbara, what I can do, what I could teach my kids to do, what I could, you know, tell the listeners to do if you know what I mean? We want actual.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys like George Soros.
Yeah.
And Bill Gates, they're funding ground zero areas. They're going to little towns and little communities, and they're getting liberals to take over the school boards. They're not worried about the big. They know they can do things to affect the big election for the president and senators and stuff like that. They're going to towns all over America, and every city, every state, and they're having these people run in. In the state of Florida here, because of what everybody saw after COVID, we replaced 12 school boards across this country with conservatives. People went in there and said, you guys are out. No more showing porn to our third grade kids. No more of this transgender surgery, saying that a five-year-old knows that he wants to change his sex. Let him grow up. Bruce Jenner didn't become Caitlyn Jenner until she was 60 years old, okay? Let them become mature enough to make that decision. There's just so many critical race theory, all this stuff. Why are we teaching kids to hate white people, to hate our country, to hate everything that stood for in history, when this country is the greatest country in the world, and we're now just slowly decapitating it over and over again? And, you know, people still want to come to this country, but right now they're coming for all the wrong reasons, because at the border, we're just saying, come on in, we'll give you free everything. Why are they getting free education, free cell phones, T-shirts, tennis shoes? Why are we doing that for these people? What? Out of our money. You know, the government, the reason we have a debt is that the government, they take in so many trillions of dollars in tax every year, but then they print more than that and just keep spending it around. Well, of course we have a problem. Mm-hmm. And the China, I got a documentary, it just came out. It's called Hollywood Takeover. It's about the China takeover of everything Hollywood does. And they're there to make sure that China looks like an amazing, wonderful place to live, and America's a horrible place to live. Mm-hmm. People need to just wake up, because something horrific is going to happen with the 10 million people that come across this border. You know, there's more than one terrorist that made it across that border, and they know it too. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have a 9/11 on such a massive scale in the next 2 years, and the liberals will go, How did this happen? How come the government didn't see it happen? I mean, people need to wake up. I've had people get in my face about we should have open borders, which makes zero sense. So the first thing I ask them, I go, let me ask some. Do you lock your house at night? Well, yeah, really. Why? You don't want to lock the border up, but you want to lock your house because of what reason? And they know I'm getting to all for, of course, for safety and protection. So they're such hypocrites. Mm-hmm. You know, walls don't work. Meanwhile, everybody in Beverly Hills that are famous got walls. We got a wall around our government. The hypocrisy is so unbelievably just like diarrhea that it's just a joke.
So let me ask you, Kevin. You know, people should listen to the Julie and Gino show. They should go out
read.
They should go out and read Brave because the Brave books are phenomenal.
They should go to sorbostudios.com.
Yes. He can read books. Yeah. Yes.
Can I give a quick plug? Where do you guys live?
We live in St. Augustine.
Okay. I'm hosting these autograph shows I go to because of Hercules and Andromeda. Most times now, the last 6-7 years, people want autographs from my family movies and faith movies like God's Not Dead, Soul Silver, What If. So I'm hosting along with Adam Phelps, who does in the Midwest. So he lives in Tennessee. We're the first ever faith and family convention at the end of May this year, May 30, 31, and June 1st. It's called RiseUpCon.com. RiseUpCon, short for convention.com. Check out the site. See the wonderful people we got coming that you'll absolutely love. Stars you'll recognize that have done secular things, but they do mostly family movies now. And we got a beautiful golf event that's happening that's going to benefit a foster home that puts foster kids into Christian families across the country. And the other one is for a pro-life organization. So we got some good stuff. I hope people will go check it out and come join us.
Where is that event being held?
It's in Sevierville, Tennessee, just below Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I tell families, take a couple extra days. You got Dollywood right there.
Yes, my partner, business partner, Jake, we have properties in Knoxville. So he's going to love it. I mean, you just made his week. I mean, because he's always trying to find stuff to do with his kids and conservative stuff.
Awesome.
He's got three children, younger children. So severe.
Come on down and tell him to take three buddies with him and be one of the foursomes on the golf course. He'll get a
play with him.
Love that.
That's awesome. We're definitely going to check that out.
I mean, as far as other content and other media, and I know you've been listening to Bill Maher. Bill Maher, he's just confused. That's the problem. He's been drinking the Kool-Aid for so long. And I think the problem is, Kevin, once you've been living the lie for 20, 30, 40 years, and then you realize, wow, I've been living the lie. It takes a lot of humility and it takes no ego to say, I've made a big mistake. I need to reassess my life. So what other channels, what else are you consuming as far as content?
I'm so busy with Sorbo Studios trying to raise money for that next thing. I do watch a lot of news. I flip channels around a lot in the morning. I'm an early riser. I'm up by 4:35 every morning.
Wow.
I'll do my golf round real early in the morning as well. As soon as they open up, crack of dawn, I go. I do 18 holes about an hour and a half. That's my drug.
Wow.
That's my time. Well, I'm a good golfer and I play fast. I can't stand these slow rounds of golf. But I love staying in tune. I do a lot of speaking events. Sorbo Studios. You can find more information there. But I do pro-life events. I do Christian education. I do motivational speaking. I do medical speaking. I've got two other books. One's called True Strength and the other one's called True Faith that my wife and I co-wrote together. And so, I get around and I love staying busy.
That's awesome. We're definitely going to have your wife on because I would love to talk about that with her.
If you think I'm on fire, wait till you talk to her.
I believe it.
We were at Moms for America.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we were at their 20th anniversary last week. And Jim Caviezel, Dr. Ben Carson, and myself got to open the gala that night, opening night. I had to fly the next day to go to Helena, Montana, speak at a Christian school there. But my wife spoke the next day on homeschooling, so I missed them. They had a lot of speakers. That was a pretty big event.
So how do you work with your wife? Like, what does that look like? Because everyone asks that to us, and I'm curious how Kevin Sorbo works with his wife.
Is your wife like Julia, where she's like, Gino, you're working too much. Slow down. Oh, I got an idea. And it's like, do you want me to slow down? You've got ideas. Take your pick. Your wife sounds very similar.
Right? We have a mission. Yeah.
Well, she knows I bring the cow both ends, but she kind of does the same thing. I mean, she's got a radio show as well with General Mike Flynn. She's got a new station out there. So she does a show daily on there. Wow. She travels a lot with the homeschooling thing.
Yeah.
She's really the brains. I'm more the creative part. I mean, she's very creative in all right, but she's a brainiac, you know. She went to college. We went to college for completely different reasons. I went to play sports and meet girls. So She went there to get an actual education, but you know, she definitely stays really, really late. She's been traveling too much too. I tell her, I said, you always scold me, but you're kind of in a run around the same way. But I think we both just like staying busy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. I just have to share one thing because 25 years ago, my husband and I got married. We went on our honeymoon and it was this new thing, the digital world of taking pictures with a character. And so I found this picture this morning and I don't know if you can see it.
Oh my gosh.
You and Xena, the warrior princess, but with my husband in my face.
Oh my gosh.
You didn't show this.
I was on a mission this morning. I was like, I am going to find that picture.
That's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
That picture is even thing. Xena was our, I jokingly call her our third year lesbian spinoff. And well, they kind of played up on that in the show. But it was, they had at the end of season two in Hercules, we did a 3-show arc to introduce the character because Universal had an extra hour slot open up and our show Hercules was just crazy in popularity. By the beginning of season three, we were the number one show in the world in 176 countries. So we did that show together during an actual fight scene that we had choreographed and that 3-part introduction of her character before it became after a series. They wanted to see how people see that character. And obviously they loved it. But I always like to trivia quiz people. I had a fifth-year spinoff off of Hercules called Young Hercules. Mm-hmm. And if you go online right now and say pictures of Young Hercules, the unknown actor playing me, it got canceled after 2 years, was devastated when the show was canceled. It was a 20-year-old Ryan Gosling.
Oh, wow.
Before he became Ryan Gosling.
Yes. That's really cool.
Check that out. That's
hysterical. It's pretty funny. Ryan Gosling as Young Hercules. You see the pictures of this wimpy little blonde kid. It's just absolutely hilarious.
That's awesome.
As I look at this picture, wow, I really am humbled here. I mean, I don't have Kevin Sorbo's face, and you don't look like a blonde, Julia.
Laura told me that I looked horrible. She's like, please don't ever get that hairstyle. So I said, it's fine. I'm good with that.
Well, you know, we started filming. I hate to say it. We started filming that show 31 years ago.
That's Hercules. Crazy.
It's unbelievable how fast it goes by.
Right.
So I miss my 30-year-old body, I'll tell you. I'm still in decent shape, but not like it was back then.
Wow.
But I love the journey, and that's why I do like to look back in time to see where we came from and what we learned.
Sure.
And, you know what I mean? Like, never in my life would I ever think that we were interviewing you on a podcast to begin with, because that's
about
my husband had a restaurant. We didn't have any children. And so it's amazing our journey in life. And where it's brought us. And I'm so thankful for our faith, for our family, for you, who's out in the world making a huge impact on people, because we don't have the voice that you do. And so I know that each one of us has their own mission. So thank you for being so brave and being out in the world.
Do you want me to wrap up the show?
I would love
to.
So we have a young Kevin Sorbo, who's one of 5 children, hard worker. His parents are Democrats. I can't believe it. But the Democrats, sort of Republican Democrats. And he's, you know, paperboy. I mean, I was a paperboy also. And I had 50 stops. He had 80. So he was probably making like 80 or 90 bucks a week, which is great back then. A lot of money. Goes to college, in his own words, trying to pick up girls and play sports. But the important thing is he found this passion in life. And his passion was acting. And he made such an impact to Julie and myself. We watched the show back in the 90s, but I think he had a passion. He had a burning desire to do more. It wasn't just about making money. It wasn't just about being famous. It was about having a calling. And about 10 years ago, they said, Mr. Sorbo, we've had your services. Goodbye. We don't want to work with you anymore. And this is after 80 films. This is after years and years of being in the industry. And Kevin could have just packed it up and said, you know what? I'm not going to find a job anymore. I don't know what to do. Instead, he just locked it in. And he said, this is what I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to truth, to liberty, to being a patriot, to justice, and to speaking what I truly believe in. And that's what's led him the last 10 years. And I think for the next 20, 30, 40 years, as long, that's what his mission is going forward. And listen, it's been an honor and a privilege having you on the show, and continued success. And I would love to meet your wife, because that would be some
podcast.
That'd
be awesome.
She would love it. Trust me. She will definitely do it.
And Kevin, last thing, once again, it's riseupcon.com and the other websites, please.
Sorbostudios.com, Sorbostudios.com is everything. Kevin and Sam on there. And also follow me on Twitter, or X, I should say, at KSorbs, KSorbs, S-O-R-B-S. My buddies call me Sorbs. Everybody can call me Sorbs. But I got about 2 million followers on there, and I post very sarcastic, funny truth. And Facebook took me down 3 years ago for posting the truth. And of course, everything I said, which they were saying were conspiracy theories and misinformation, all came true. So one of my posts on Twitter was, I need more conspiracy theories because mine all came true.
That's awesome.
Well, what's the difference between a conspiracy and the truth? About 6 months.
Yep.
That's what they say. So,
ain't that a fact?
Thanks, Kevin. We appreciate you being on. And to all the listeners out there, thanks for spending part of your day. And we hope to see you on the next show.
Yes. And please visit us at juliaandgino.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.